Appreciate each one being here today. Thank you for being willing to put a little effort into meeting together. I feel like it's an appropriate thing for us to do as humanity. And been reading this week and studying on something that is not the subject of our lesson. We may address that at another time, but I've been thinking about time probably in a little different way than I've thought about it in the past. Time is something that we all have, and you start thinking about the days that we've had, and this year my birthday's coming up here this fall, and I'll have had 21,900 days on my birthday when it gets there. 21,900 days that I will have spent yesterday coming on. I know what I spent yesterday on. I know approximately the time I got up, and I know approximately the time that I finally went to bed. It was a pretty long day yesterday, just so you know. About, I don't know, at least 18 hours. And I got some things done, and I had some disappointments, and I had some fulfilling things, and had some food yesterday, and that's a daily thing too, you know. It's just time is something that is I've been given, I've been blessed with, and it's a commodity that I have to exchange for things that I want to do, things that I want to experience, things that are important to me. Time is my commodity. You know, a commodity is something, it's something that I can use, and you know, before mankind had money, and I don't know, we've had money so long, it's hard for us to not think of not having money, you know, as far as an exchange. Before money, though, if you had a cow and you needed a hog, you had to work out some kind of negotiation. You know, is a cow worth two hogs or small cow, big hog? I don't know. You know, you had to work some kind of trade out there. But a commodity, money, for instance, is something that we can use to strike a deal. Your cow is worth this much. My hog is worth this much. I will trade, and you give me this much money to boot. You know, y'all know what that is. What I'm talking about there. But time is a commodity that we have. But not everything it's hard for us to look at anything without thinking about time. If we want to be at a particular place at a particular time, then we have to start counting back. Yesterday, we were going to, I've already mentioned this, visit Brother Ron, Sister Martha, and for us to be there at the appointed time, I knew that we needed to leave our house about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. We didn't quite make that, but I knew it takes time to drive from our house to their house. And so we have to think everything is time related. And it's hard for us to think about anything that is not connected with time. But there are some things that we are connected with that time is not a factor, or it doesn't impact. You know, I've got a few cows, and I'm thankful to have a few cows. It's an experience that I enjoy, even if it's work. But you know, most cows are slaughtered or butchered, however you want, somewhere around 1,200 pounds. And you know, most cows will get to that given enough time. And you know, the time, the cow doesn't really care. It's going to gain, it's going to eat all it can. There's something about a cow that just wants to eat. If you don't believe that, just watch them. You know, they get up. If the day is pleasant and it's not too hot, if it's real hot, they're going to lay in the shade. But if it's pleasant weather, they're going to be grazing. And they're going to graze a while, and they're going to lay down and chew their cud. And they're going to get back up, and they're going to graze again. They don't have anything else to think about except eating and gaining weight. And it don't matter to them if it takes them 6 months or 6 years to get to 1,200 pounds. Now, they don't know what 1,200 pounds means. We do, but they don't. And it doesn't matter to them. But to the farmer, he wants to expedite that quickly as possible. Time becomes an element, but the cow don't care. They're grazing the night. They're grazing the daytime. Time is not a factor to them. Let's think about a verse here in Psalms. Turn with us if you want. Over in Psalms chapter 90. In the first four verses, we'll notice. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Eternity to eternity. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years is as yesterday. 1,000 years, that'd be 365,000 days. I got a long ways to go to get to that. But it says yesterday. I can remember what I did yesterday, but I don't remember the details of, I can remember some unique things that happened, but to recall what I did 20 years ago on Saturday, I can't do that. Unless it just so happens that there was a major event happened in my life, and then maybe I could remember some real specific things. But just to randomly say, let's count back 20 years. Yep, I remember that day. No, I can't do that. But it says that God, 1,000 years is but yesterday. He says that in 1,000 years is like a watch in the night. What's a watch in the night? Didn't they divide the night up into like four notches? They divided the night up into times that somebody would stand guard. And they said it was the second watch or the third watch. So time is an element for us, but to God, it's not a factor. He was there before time began. And he will be there when time comes to an end. So, and in 2 Peter, the third chapter, let's turn there and notice the 8th verse, 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. So I guess what I have to say this morning is maybe a little bit philosophical. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. When you take the pressure of time away, because that's really what I believe it's saying here, my time is limited. I can divide it up into days and say that I've lived over 21,000 days, and that's a fact. I've had over 21,000 days of time to exchange my time for something that would be important in my head. But I realize, I don't know how many days I'm going to be given. It's all a blessing of the Lord. But there's going to come a time that my time is no longer. And I won't have any time. I won't have any commodity to exchange for maybe an experience I want to have. Most of us here know someone that has wanted to skydive, do something like that. And they spent time leading up to it because it was an important thing for them. And they chose to spend their commodity of time preparing for that. But I believe that time is not a factor in how God deals with mankind. I told you, it's a little bit philosophical. You know, I don't see a place in the Scripture where God says, I'm not going to have mercy on mankind anymore. The Scripture teaches us that His mercy is enduring. It's still extended. Time is a big deal to me. I get paid by the tenth of an hour. I get something done in 3/10 of an hour. I get 3/10 worth of pay. If I get it done, anyway, y'all, I don't want to go into all that. But my time is what I exchange for the currency that I can put in my pocket that I can take and get something that I want with it, whether it's a meal or whether it's a possession that I desire to have. You know that American dollars aren't just used in the United States. There's over 20 countries in this world that use U.S. currency. Did y'all know that? There's a lot of places that you can go where U.S. currency is not the official currency, and offer to pay someone with greenbacks, we call them, and they'll be glad to take it. Maybe even more so than their own currency. Because it's valuable. It has some world value to it. You know, our time is valuable to us. Time is our currency. It transcends culture, countries, languages. You can go across the world and you can go to foreign countries where you can't understand their language, and yet time is a big factor. Just try to get on the airplane when you want to and find out what happens. Time is important. They have things scheduled, and there's reasons for all that. We have limited time, so it's valuable. I have limited money too, but we have limited time, and we have to realize that how we spend it makes it that much more valuable. In Proverbs, the sixth chapter, we have something that talks about how we spend our time. We might turn there. Proverbs chapter 6. I want to notice, you know, it must be important because this is, it's almost word for word, or is word for word, in like the 23rd or 24th chapter of Proverbs. And he says here in chapter 6 in verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, we have to choose what we're going to do with our time. As a young person, sometimes we can say, well, I'm bored. Y'all ever heard that? I've got time and nothing to do. That's, wouldn't that be the definition of being bored? I've got time and nothing to do. And I want to tell you that it's been a long period. It seems like 1,000 years, but I know it's not. It's been a long time since I've had time with nothing to do. There's something about age that causes time to feel more valuable to us. And I realize that I have to make every day count. I have to make every day count. But I remember a time when it was like, wonder what I'm going to do with this day. Maybe I'll read a book. Maybe I'll sleep in. I know I had children that wanted to sleep in, and I didn't do very good at letting them. But it says here, a little sleep, a little slumber. That's how you chose to spend your time. A little folding of the hands to sleep. I'm just going to sit down a while. I just don't feel like getting up and doing whatever. It's our choice of how we spend our time. We have a song that says in the chorus, number 409, Eternity. It says, time speeds on to onward to eternity. Soon we'll all be in eternity. You know what changes when we get to eternity? Time. We don't have it any longer. We have got forever in eternity. Just like God has had forever in eternity. God is there, has been, and will be through eternity. In time, oh, it's important to us. It's important to us because way back there in the beginning, God had divided the day and the night and set in order days and nights and weeks and months and years and all, you know, all of the seasons. He set that all in order. But time was not near as valuable at the point of creation as it is now. You know why? Because in the garden, there was a tree of life. And mankind was going to live in that state when time was not so valuable. But now, because I know I'm limited, whether I get to see 30,000 days or not, I don't know. That'd be a long time. But there's going to come a time somewhere between now and when the end is for me that time ceases. And I have to choose, how am I going to fold my hands? Am I going to sleep spiritually, or am I going to be up and about the things that I ought to be up and about? Am I going to be taking care of my soul, or am I going to just fold my hands, a little sleep, a little slumber? So shall my want come. So shall my... I'm going to have spent my time, my commodity that I had that I could have used to gain something that would have been very valuable to me. But instead of that, maybe I'll fold my hands and time will get away from me. And it'll be like it says in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. You know, if somebody is, if they say they'll be there at 5 and they don't show up, what do we think of that? They're slack. There's some, they don't value my time. Somebody says, well, I'll come there. I'll be at your house at 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Guess what time I start looking for them? 7:45. 8 o'clock come, they're not there. 8:15, they're not come. I'm about to decide they're not coming. If I have a way to get a hold of them, I'll contact. Are you still coming? Oh, yeah, I'm coming. Whatever. Time. It's something that's so, we put such a high value on time. And it says here in 3:9 of 2 Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering to usward. Why is he long suffering? It's not that he don't value time, but he doesn't live in a time world. He's long-suffering toward us because there's something else that's more important to him than time. He's not willing, listen to this, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what's valuable to the Lord? That we'd all come to repentance. You know, he would like for you to be able to use your time wisely. He would like for you to experience the blessings of salvation and the blessings of life and of wholesomeness and holiness. He would like for you to experience that through the entirety of your life. When you come to an age of accountability, he would like for you to have this awareness and begin to spend your time every day of it. All 21,000, 30,000, however many days you have, he'd like you to spend every day doing the will of the Father. That's what he'd like. But you know, he's long-suffering toward us because time is not a pressing thing for the Lord. What's pressing is that he's not willing for any of us to perish, but that all would come to repentance. He extends his mercy, and that's his commodity that he extends to us, because he wants fellowship with us. You know, he wanted fellowship with Adam and Eve, and I believe he wanted Adam and Eve's fellowship with him to last without time constraints. Have you ever went somewheres, or maybe just quit going to work for a while and wanted to just get up whenever you feel like getting up and go to bed when you feel like going to bed and do what you just wanted to do or felt? You ever had a time like that? Well, I'm going to tell you, I promise you I can count those on one hand. There's always the time element that's pushed on me from some direction. But if you took that out, you know, the thing that God wanted for mankind in the beginning is fellowship. He wanted to have fellowship with mankind. And he wants to take the time element out of it today. And he wants us, wherever we are today, he wants us to have fellowship with him. That's why he's long-suffering. That's why we still have nights and days and seasons, and why the world is still going around, is because the thing that he wants is fellowship. And he wants, if somebody rebels and spends all of their time, all 20,000 days or 25,000 days, you start, you know, you can get up there in years pretty quick, it seems. The Lord still wants to have mercy. He still wants to extend hope. That's what He wants. And you notice how the Bible ends? You ever paid attention? The last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. In 17 it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." It doesn't say those of you that have look like you're going to have a lot of time. The little children that here today that doesn't comprehend what we're saying. Maybe they understand the words, but they don't understand the meaning. Whatever age we are. It doesn't say, those of you that looks like you've got a bright future, He doesn't say that. He says, any of you. It doesn't matter if you're in single-digit age, teenage years, in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, 60s, 70s. And if we had anybody here in the 80s, it would apply to them too. Whosoever will. There's nothing here that says only those less than 55. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say only those that's over 12. It doesn't say that either. It says whosoever will. So God operates on mercy. And He wants fellowship. He doesn't operate on time. Well, you've already passed 20,000 days in your life and you haven't responded, so it's all for you. That's not how He operates. It's whosoever will. And time seems to be such an important thing to us, but I've been so impressed this week in thinking that time is not that big a deal with the Lord. Oh, He made it to happen. When you divide the darkness and the light and you set in order seasons and all of this kind of stuff, and it's the power of God that's keeping it moving, folks. It's not perpetual motion. There's energy that's being expended that keeps everything going like it is. And then let's go down to the next to the last verse. And He says, "He which testifies these things saith, Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What does it mean when He says, "Surely I come quickly"? Does that mean, is that there to scare us? Have you ever been in the airport when it says loading at gate, whatever, flight number so-and-so, and then or boarding. That's what they say. They don't say loading. They load luggage and board passengers. So you're boarding. Gate so-and-so is open for boarding. And then after a few minutes, it'll say, gate so-and-so is closing and they'll give a time, won't they? So many minutes and gate so-and-so is going to close. You can't get on the airplane any longer. And it may be somebody gets on the phone or on the loudspeaker and they're looking for a particular passenger and they might even call their name out. You've got so many minutes to get to gate so-and-so and we're going to close the gate. And when this says, "Surely I come quickly," is Jesus saying, 2025, September the 15th. That's a few days in the future, isn't it? That's going to be your last opportunity. Is that what he's saying? Surely I come quickly. Mercy's been extended. It doesn't matter if you're 7, 17, or 77. Surely I come quickly. You know what I think it's saying to us more than anything? Because I believe that time is not that big a deal to the Lord, but mercy is. And He wants fellowship with you more than anything else. And He's willing to spend mercy and long-suffering to all of us here if we will but respond. And when He says, surely I come quickly, I believe He's right there at the door of your heart. He's right there. And when we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have not taken advantage. I've been folding my hands. I've been sleeping. I've been snoozing. I've been spending my time for things that was valuable to me, but it doesn't help me in my fellowship with you. He's going to be right there. When you say, Lord, have mercy on me. I've neglected the things that should be so important. But instead of that, I've been folding my hands. I've been dilly-dallying around. You know what that means, don't you? I've been wasting my time. Here I am. I'm past 20,000 days in my life, and I haven't taken advantage of what you had. And almost at the end of the book, the whole book, he says, surely I come quickly. I'll be there. If you run up a flag and you say, Lord, I want some fellowship. Thank you for being long-suffering to me. Thank you for your grace that's extended to me. Would you have mercy on me? He'll say, yes, my child. I want fellowship more than anything else. I just want you to go home today and realize that the Lord has mercy. And He wants you to have fellowship with Him more than anything else. And He's extending that commodity of mercy to you one more time today. Today, as another scripture says, is a day of salvation. He's always at the door of our heart, ready to come in or help if we will just ask Him. He's ready to come. He's ready to be there. He'll come quickly. He'll be there in just a flash. There's sometimes that things happen quicker. Today, sometimes you can order things on Amazon and it show up before the end of the day. I'm not sure how they make that happen, but it'll show up on a truck in Podunk, America. It's not coming by a drone, but it'll come on a truck to your house the same day. Or order it today and it's there tomorrow morning. It's like, how did they do that? I'm not sure. They don't tell you where it come from. It might come from across the street. But anyway, Lord, help us to realize that the Lord will come quickly. He'll be right there. Take the time element out of it. The Lord wants to be there and extend mercy to you. Could we stand and sing? I believe it's 509. And listen to the words of this song, and especially the chorus, where he says, time speeds on. 409, sorry. 409, and time is speeding on for me. It seems like I need to have every hour allocated. It's like, well, I can work on this until a certain time, and then I'm going to take a little bit of time to sit down and eat my lunch, and then I have a certain length of time, and then I'm going to move on to my next responsibility, and yes, it'll take me reality, I should be able to get to work in about 6 or 7 minutes, but I need to allow 10 minutes. I mean, that's how my day goes. And many of you are the same way. But time, that time is speeding on. And soon I'm going to be in an eternity. And the big question is not how long will eternity last? That's not the question. The question is, where will I be? It doesn't matter. Time will totally disappear. If there's day and night and all of that, which I don't think there is, but that's a topic for another argument. But time's going to disappear. The big thing is did I avail myself of what God had to offer? And am I in a place that I want to spend forever? And if I'm not, I need to adjust my time, what I'm doing now with my time. Lord, help us to make good use of time and to spend it wisely in a way that will ensure that when we get to where time is no longer, we'll be very happy with where we're at. You pray for me.